Hey everybody, we are back with episode 309 of the Verbal Mosh. I'm Tosh Moore.
I'm Olivia Plies.
We're back, and we also want you to know that other than us being back in podcast form, we also have a website. www.theverbalmosh.com is where you can go to read about comic books and news, but mostly comics. And the news, I suppose.
Well, news regarding comics and the like, because we don't talk about like politics or anything like that. Government.
That's more for Leslie Knope to deal with. So if you go to our website, theverbalmosh.com, you can read the pick of the week, which I don't have this week. We're back on track with that, but we probably won't be back next week with one. But you have the pick of the week out of the books that we read. We had some good books. It wasn't a crappy week.
Yeah.
You don't... Oh, so you agree with me? Good.
No, I don't agree with you at
all. You don't agree with me at all? Wow.
I thought it was a bunch of crappy books.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh, but you had the pick of the week, so I'm going to let you spiel about that for just a moment.
Well, I don't know. Pick of the week, you hidden the pick of the week from me, so I don't have it in front of me. Let me see.
It's
Superman Convergence number one by Mr. Dan Jurgens and Lee Weeks. Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Fantastic stuff. I love, when reading this, I missed how much I miss Superman in his underwear. The red underwear tights.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And I like the way Lee Weeks draws Superman. He looks like, you know, an older gentleman. It's not like he's forever 20 or something.
I've always been a fan of Lee Weeks from the moment I saw him draw Daredevil. He drew Spider-Man for a while.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I mean, just an all-around fantastic artist. He drew one of my favorite Batman stories, The Chase, with Batman, Robin, a bunch of gangsters. Lee Weeks is a phenomenal artist, who I don't know why he isn't working on a monthly title. I'll have to ask him that. Like, why aren't these new, young, goofy, wannabe hip editors calling you to draw their books?
I don't know. Probably it's because, you know, there's just so much talent around and there's so little work to go around.
Mm-hmm. Whenever they're relaunching another number one for a fucking book. But go to theverbalmosh.com. You'll be eventually able to read that review along with past episodes, other rants. I'm going through that Wolverine Frank Miller miniseries from the 80s. Mark Waid's relaunch of Captain America. As well as the Bronze Age Fantastic Four. So we're getting there. We've got a lot to talk about this episode. Other than I can really think of the news and comics reviews, and we finally sat down. There's no DC TV this week because Daredevil has clearly taken over that spot. But you can join the conversation on our social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter. Facebook.com/TheVerbalMosh. @TheVerbalMosh is our handle on Twitter. You can leave us an email at TheVerbalMosh@gmail.com. And you can find us on our sponsors, the Comics Podcast Network, www.comicspodcast.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Is there anything else that I'm missing?
No. Be sure to write us a review on iTunes.
Helps people find this podcast.
Yeah, and you could subscribe to us there for free.
Precisely. It's all free, and our content is free and will forever remain free until I decide that I want to milk you for some money. Okay. Disposable income. God damn it. Is there anything else that we can talk? Oh, wait, yeah.
No.
No, I mean, before we talk...
Before you want to talk about... What are we even going to call it? Since it's not DC TV.
This Week in Television.
This Week in Television?
This Week in Television. All right. We'll have to change the intro. Yeah. Hell no, we're not changing that intro.
No, you said you just wanted to add to it.
I can't see. I can hear really well.
That's terrible. No. Shutting down that idea. Terrible.
Electro.
Denied.
No, you know why I think of that? Because I remember like watching when fucking the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck came out. They had like a documentary. And with Frank Miller, and he was like, the good thing about, and Frank Miller, holy fucking shit, he's terrible. He's like, the good thing about, he's been living off that same rep for like the last 20 years. But anyway, I digress. He goes, the great thing I love about Daredevil is that he's blind. He can't see. And that's all he fucking contributed to this documentary. Like, that's it? This dude could have gone on any number of tangents, but he just brings up the most fucking painfully obvious thing. Daredevil, you know, he's unique because he's blind. That means he doesn't use his eyes. For seeing. Do you see what I mean there? You're just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Get Stan Lee on there. Since this is a Marvel production, where was Stan Lee in this show? I haven't seen him so far.
Why? You're expecting a cameo?
At least something.
No, that would have been terrible. That would have been the worst idea ever. Because Stan Lee, he's like the cheese that comes into all those Marvel movies, you know? It's not like he plays like some serious character. He's just like a quick, cheesy cameo. So you don't want that in this like dark, serious world that Daredevil is living in. Hell's Kitchen. You don't want, hey, I'm Stan Lee.
I think of, whenever I think of Hell's Kitchen now in the show, I think back to when we were at New York Comic Con, I think 2 years ago, and they launched the Mark Waid Daredevil with the editor of the book. He was then the editor. Damn, what's his name? Not Niccolo, who's the editor now. Steven Wacker was like, yeah, Daredevil's going to be going out into the broader Marvel Universe. Have you seen Hell's Kitchen? It's nice now. His job is done. He can move on to protecting other parts of New York, not just Hell's Kitchen. They even mention it. I like, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute.
He's like Jennifer Lopez. He's going back to the block. He's got to stay to his roots.
Yeah, but seeing Charlie Cox's Daredevil is a fucking much more entertaining than anything J-Lo has to offer us. Just saying. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
We can agree on that. So the first and only little bit of news is that DC is officially gone from New York. They're in California now, and tons of editors were left behind and are begging for work now.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a while, but now it's officially done and over with.
Yeah, they're done. I mean, on to the West Coast and more, hopefully, a smoother transition.
I don't get it. I don't see the appeal of the West Coast. I guess just because they have all their movies over there and stuff like that.
It's cheaper, probably. DC was like, Warner's was like, we can save some money. And in the process of moving all the editors, we can cut.
Is it that much cheaper? You got to worry about, like, so much gas because everybody drives over there because you can't really walk to places.
Well, taxes are high in New York. And it's just outrageously expensive. So I don't know. They're saying this is to make it a little bit more easier in the production of the shows. But shit, Marvel is, like, in New York and they have things that go on the West Coast and they seem not to fuck it up.
Maybe because they're generating more revenue? Is that why?
Possibly. I mean, I'm awful. I don't know. It's just weird to know that the guy who plays The Flash won't be playing The Flash on the TV show, which is wildly popular, won't be playing The Flash in the movie.
Well, I won't have a problem with it, you know, if the casting isn't, like, completely off from what the character should be.
He's a black guy. Yo, yo, Batman. He's like,
I'm a running here. No.
Running away from a cop.
Stereotypes.
I know. Oh, I don't know. Why do I have a feeling that they're going to get this Justice League movie wrong? Like, they'll be like, somehow Mad Max Fury Road made more money than we did. Fuck.
Because from all the teaser promotional stuff we've seen so far, it's just looked terrible.
I haven't seen anything. Yeah. No, I don't know. I haven't seen anything, really. That's really it.
Yeah, I have no idea because I don't keep up with any kind of trailers or anything like that. When people are like talking about the Avengers and all that, and I'm like, I don't watch any of those trailers. Why not?
I didn't worry about it because I knew that we were going to see Avengers Age of Ultron. That's why I was just like, yeah, I'm going to go see it. You don't need to convince me that maybe this is a good idea to go see this movie. It's going to draw me in. It's a comic book film. I get it. I'm going to see it no matter what. I was excited for.
Well, I don't think, you know, I don't think the trailers aren't solely for the purpose of, like, trying to convince people to see it. But
it's to generate interest and buzz. But I didn't really get
to, like, just give you a glimpse of what's to come, you know? You're already excited. You already know you're going to see it. So you're just kind of getting a taste of what's to come.
I think I'm jaded now. Like, I'm just like, all right, this movie's coming out. I'm going to go see it. Let's see what it's about. You don't need to win me over with
this
the trailer.
This is, like, so different from what you used to be like. Because you used to love, like, checking up on spoilers all the time. Everybody, like, spoiling movies for you. Yeah. And I'd be like, why are you, like, reading all that stuff?
Now I don't give a shit. Because I'm like, all right, this movie's out there. I'm going to go see it.
You don't want to spoil it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it. Like, I mean, I saw the trailer for Spectre, but it just seems like it's been so long since we've had a James Bond film. Mm-hmm. And that's primarily Sam Mendes' fault. Fucking going off the film other movies. I'm excited for this next
year.
You're
like so upset being productive and all.
No. I think it was already written into his contract that he was going to do this movie. And then he was like, I want to go do something else. Like,
Yeah. That's good for him. He's getting work. You're so upset by it, which is funny.
Well, fuck Sam Mendes. If he walked away today, he wouldn't have any money concerns. Anyway.
Why do you hate him so much?
I don't hate him.
Your tone says something differently.
It's the opposite. But I'm just saying, if he decided to stop directing, he'd be okay. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Daredevil on Netflix. We're going to move on, okay? All right, DC, you left New York. Boo freaking who? Want to talk about comics? What do you want to talk about first? Comics?
We always talk about the TV first before we get to the comics.
Okay. Talk about Netflix's Daredevil. We didn't binge watch. Yes, we did. We watched 4 episodes in a row.
But I don't consider that binge watching.
What do you consider binge watching? Because we have two totally different ideas on what binge watching is.
Binge watching is watching the whole show nonstop, the entire season, until there are no episodes left.
That's where I'm getting with House of Cards.
No, like you know, straight through, like an entire day or however long it takes you to watch the entire season. That's what I consider.
So if there's 25 episodes of Parks and Rec, if we watched all 25 episodes in
back to back to back, yeah,
that's binge watching.
I consider that binge watching.
I consider 2 episodes a day or more.
You know, because it's like when you binge eat, you just are like constantly eating tons and tons of food. You're not like I'm gonna eat a large meal. And then I'm going to wait a little while and then eat a little bit later. And then, you know, wait a little while and then eat a little later. I don't really consider that, you know, that's not really binge eating.
Then again, you're consuming content. You know, it's...
I think it's similar, but it's not the same.
Like I said, we'll agree to disagree. Everything about this show is phenomenal. That's what we will definitely agree on.
Yeah.
Like I said, 2 episodes or more a day is binging.
I really like the casting for the show. I think they've gotten the characters really well.
Charlie Cox is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He's not this overly muscular guy. He doesn't have to hide it too much, you know?
He doesn't look like Daniel Radcliffe. Like in the little promotional, the trailer that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Like he looked like him. But I'm glad, you know, like he does look like Charlie Cox that I've seen in Stardust and stuff like that.
Yeah, with more of a receding hairline. Oh. Yeah. Oh, the selection of Foggy is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me, like, oh, that's the kid from the Mighty Ducks. I was like, what? Like, yeah, the fat kid from the Mighty Ducks.
Really?
I was like, what? Good for him, because he is fantastic. Private Pyle in the form of Kingpin is fantastic, because you don't see him for the first couple of episodes, which is awesome.
They get you were, like, really wondering about that, because you were like, oh, I wonder when Kingpin is going to show up. And I was glad that he didn't show up immediately.
I didn't say, like, I didn't want him to show up in a white suit and start dancing. Like,
no,
I'm just like,
you were like, when he's going to show up,
Yeah, because I was anticipating when he was going to show up, because we haven't seen him. He had been in the shadows, because he was just all about letting Wesley do his dirty work,
yeah,
which
so
is
you
great.
Didn't even know that it was Kingpin, you know?
I'm a Daredevil fan. I know it's Kingpin. He's what?
No, but I'm saying like, the average lay person wouldn't know that it's Kingpin. If you're not familiar with the world.
Of course, I know. But I'm just saying, I was wondering, like, I wonder when they're going to show him, because it's interesting.
Because you probably read spoilers.
No, I didn't read any fucking spoilers. I didn't see any of the trailers or anything like that. I purposely stayed away from it this time around. Uh-huh. Just like I did with Avengers. Just like I'm probably going to do with every other movie that isn't James Bond for a while. But I kept away from it. I didn't read any spoilers. You know, and... Like you said, the casting is spot on.
Yeah.
Introduction of Karen Page, how she starts to work for them is, you know, spot on. I like the idea that Matt has a corner apartment with the giant billboard.
Well, it's
he's
not
cool
just
with it.
A billboard, because it's
lighted.
It's electric. So that lucky for him, since he's blind, it doesn't affect him. But that's why he was able to get a really cheap apartment, because nobody else wanted the place because of the huge glowing sign.
The fight scenes, the choreographed fight scenes are awesome, because Daredevil's fighting a bunch of dudes. And
They're like realistic to the fact that he has to like really put in a lot of effort
to
fight these guys. And yeah, he's got to hit them not just once, but it takes a couple of times to knock someone down.
He's got
to
work for those victories. Because I remember like in The Dark Knight when Batman was hitting people with his elbows, they were just like, well, I'm down. Think I'll stay here on the ground, soft. And he's fighting some Russians, and the scene where he rescues a little boy who was kidnapped. He's beating on,
You pointed out how he even tripped on, the door or something.
As he's fighting, Daredevil slips over the door. He catches his foot.
Yeah.
And he's beating the crap out of one guy. Like, he's just like, God, would you just stay down? That's a great scene.
Yeah.
And you can see, like, there's a scene, there's even a moment in that where he leans up against the wall to kind of catch his breath. Like, oh, this is getting difficult.
He was breathing hard when he met the kid.
Yeah, he wasn't just like, I beat them up. Like, he's like, no, I'm fucking hurt. Holy crap, this is difficult.
He does. He gets hurt a lot. And you see, I like the
it shows, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just like in Batman. Like, I compare it to Batman, because that's pretty much as realistic as they try to get it to. Because Bruce Wayne would be like, I fought these guys. Now tomorrow I'm just going to Wayne Enterprises and chill out. And Matt is like, holy crap, I'm bleeding through my suit. I'm hurt. I'm legitimately hurt. My knuckles are bruised. There's a scene where I think he got into a fight and he has the black eye.
Yeah.
And he's sporting that the whole way through. He's not like, well, magically healed the next day. Like, no, there's consequences to him fucking jumping around in a black suit fighting people.
I like the way that they're telling the story so that it's not like exactly as if, each episode picks up from where the last one left off, but you're able to get a sense of the structure of the story, especially through the flashbacks of him recalling his childhood.
That's good too. Very, very good use of that. Not hokey or campy in any sort of situation. Because sometimes I think those Marvel movies get away from that and they do that. And they didn't just do like a straightforward origin story because I feel like superhero movies are like, all right, here's our first movie. There's got to be an origin. Like, no, you don't have to do that.
I mean, it was really quick, his basic origin, because the whole accident with the trucks happened like the first couple of minutes of
And
the
then
series,
it's
and
out of
then
the way.
it's done with, and then they can move on to more important matters, like especially the connection that he had with his father and what his father taught him about fighting and how you always get back up.
And you always bludgeon your hands. I like the very beginning. Also, after that, when they show him in confessional, and he was like, "Oh, so what have you done?" He's like, "It's not what I've done. It's what I'm about to do." I was like, "Oh, okay, that's pretty cool." No goofy Billy Club stick from the Affleck movies, but he did pick
He
up that
does
one
fight with a
taser.
stick.
Yeah.
He does like swing something around, as he's fighting the one guys, the first couple of guys by the pier when he's rescuing the girls.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. When he threw the stick in the guy's face and knocked him into the water. I was like, why are you just sitting there? And it does seem where he's bludgeoning Turk with his bare hands. Ooh. A lot of nice little continuity or little Easter eggs. Crusher Creel. That's the Absorbing Man. I was like, holy crap, that's cool. And the scene where Kingpin beats the crap out of that one Russian guy, that was scary as all hell. And I didn't see that part coming where he's having
Yeah,
dinner with
the
Vanessa.
violence in it
Ah,
is so intense at times that we're just like cringing at it
yeah.
because you can't believe. And then the one guy who spills the beans on Kingpin's name, Wilson
Oh
Fisk,
yeah,
and he like
we don't.
jams his eye and like kills himself.
Yeah, we don't say his name. I thought that was pretty cool. I like how they mentioned the incident in New York with the Avengers. It's just the incident. They don't just say, "Hey, the Avengers were here fighting these guys."
Yeah, I like how they just mention it once and you don't really
It's out of the
talk about
way.
it. Because it's there for continuity's sake to kind of explain where they're at and what's going on with the local businesses and how they're coping with everything in the neighborhood.
Yeah, Avengers are fucking things up. We destroyed a building. Now here comes some crooked ass
And
contractors.
I do like how they mention, because when they're the Russians are trying to fight Daredevil, he doesn't have a name yet, he's just the Man in Black.
The
They're like
devil.
talking about like, oh, how come we can't get our hands on this guy? It's not like he's got an iron suit
Or magic
or
hammer.
magic
Yeah.
hammer,
Yeah. If you if
referencing those Avengers.
yeah, if like, oh, if this guy had that, then we could see him, this one guy being a problem. Night Nurse is pretty cool. I guess that's an interesting concept. They broke out. They're like, oh, we got some old characters. Let's make them relevant. Did you see the red costume?
What red costume?
We haven't gotten that far yet. Just know if
So
you're.
why are you talking about
Oh, what
it?
the fuck? Never mind. What else happened in this? Other than Wilson Fisk going on a date.
So we just watched like what?
Four
Four
episodes.
episodes.
Yeah. Wilson Fisk went on a date, even though it was cool to finally see him. He's
I
bald.
really like,
Perfect.
I love his character too, the way that he's portrayed, because like he's this really huge guy, but he's really soft spoken
Yeah, he doesn't have
almost,
to. Yeah.
except when he loses his temper.
Which
And
is rare.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when
It's
he.
not like he's this guy and he's like got this huge presence. Out of my way, folks. Don't you know I'm the kingpin? He's not like, it's not like that. He's like more secretive and he's working in the shadows.
He
And
prefers that.
for a big guy, he can really move pretty fast and
Oh
fight
yeah.
well.
Well, earlier in the series, I remember when they were just like, "How do we settle the situation with Miss Page?" And he was like, "Well, there's no need to bring any more attention to us. That's taken care of. Like whatever is necessary." He doesn't go over like, "Oh, I gotta protect myself." He's just like very cold and very calculating. Like, this is how it'll play out, and that's fine. As best we can, we deal with it. Like, oh, when they were like, "Oh, should we take care of Miss Page?" And he's like, "Why? Everything she already knows is out in the paper. There's no point in order in bringing that to anyone else's attention." Hey, Ben Urich is in this,
He
and he's
is.
black, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I was a little saddened that the newspaper wasn't the Daily Bugle. Yeah, I was waiting for that. I was like, Daily Bulletin. Oh,
Close enough.
they got Josie's Bar in there. I like the interaction between Foggy and Karen. She doesn't want to go home, so Foggy's just like, "Yep, let's just hang out and drink."
Foggy's kind of trying to hit on her.
Well, yes, I do like that he's really like upfront, like
And
I'm awkward.
I
Yep,
know, I like
that's
that. And
me.
he's like totally facing reality, and he's like, Matt is the lucky guy who always happens to land himself the beautiful woman,
I like when
even
he.
though he's blind and he can't even see them.
Yeah, I did like when he was talking to Matt, and he was like, "If there's a woman with a questionable past, you,
A
Matt
beautiful
Murdock, a
woman with a
beautiful
questionable
woman."
past.
He like, "You'll find her. Yep, I don't know how, but you will."
And he does. Yeah, when he meets up with
Night nurse.
the nurse, yeah.
Yeah. That was cool when they kidnapped her. I was like, holy crap, this is brutal. The cell phone burner. She found Daredevil in the garbage. Aw.
Why do you
He's
say it like that?
dirty.
Aww.
He's
Like, that
dummy.
poor thing.
That poor Daredevil. I was just thinking to myself that when I was driving
Yeah.
home the other day, like everyone involved from in this show obviously gets it, what the character's supposed to be, and they were like, well, we can't be hokey. I think 2003 was a very bad time to put out Daredevil because people's minds were
I mean, there
still.
is a little bit of humor, and we get that with Foggy, but yeah, it's not hokey and cheesy.
Yeah, because I felt like the Ben Affleck movie was definitely that, and it was just the wrong time to put that movie out because they still hadn't taken superhero movies seriously. Everyone was still doing, and I still hate when people do the bam, like, no,
Yeah,
we don't do that anymore.
and you know what I like about it, this too, because it different from like the Daredevil movie, whereas like when they want to show what like Matt's going through, they don't actually show any kind of like radar sense, you know, the way they would be depicted on a comic and the way it was depicted in the Daredevil movie
Yeah.
with the lines all over people's faces and stuff like that, because
Yeah.
that's only something that's needed in a comic. But with the movie, you know, they're able to take different approach, and they focus on the things that he can hear and the way that he pinpoints
Oh,
on you know,
yes.
the different sounds, and that's how he's able to locate where he is in relation to things and what's coming at him.
Yeah, that's I thought that was better than I was like, oh, they didn't have that goofy ass radar sense.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know, for a moment I felt like I was
Because
watching
you're able to
Hannibal.
hear it and stuff. Yeah. So
Yeah.
you don't have to worry about relying solely on visuals as you would in a comic.
Well, you pretty much said everything I wanted to say about that. The need for the radar sense is clearly gone. I mean, you'll probably get a little more in depth with that later on as the series
I mean, it's
progresses.
there, but it's like depicted in a different way, which I think
And
works.
yeah, I'm totally okay with that. The fact that he was standing on the roof when the little boy got kidnapped and he was just listening and clearly sorting out all those weird sounds. And bludgeoning people with his bare hands, which can't be good for his knuckles. I like the scene in the very first episode when they got Karen Page released from prison. And he was like, yeah, if you had anything on her, you would have charged her 4 hours ago. And like the cop was like, I'll kick your ass, even if you are blind. And Foggy, it's just funny. He's like, really, man? Really? You're gonna go there? Terrible.
Oh, we both like how when they were talking to Karen about how long they've been lawyers.
Yes, yeah. How long have the lawyers? Oh,
7 hours.
7 hours. What time is it? Yeah, 7 hours. Like, oh, so they're just.
They're like, oh, you know, should we count from the time we passed the bar? And he was like, no, from the time we got our desks,
All
seven
right, 7 hours.
hours.
Yeah. And Karen Page is she buys a fax machine. And I want to
Well,
know.
yeah, because she's trying to figure out, you know, what's the deal with her former bosses and why they were
And I
trying to
like
kill
construction.
her.
Yeah.
So she's trying to dig up information by herself, and in order to seem less conspicuous, she needs to play more of a role in dealing with all the shady characters and blend in, so that when she goes to this auction to scope out, you know, who's doing what, she has to play a hand and buy something. And she
Yeah.
buys super old fax machine
Yeah.
computers and stuff like that.
I want to know that story that Foggy has where he's just like, when
He
I was a
started to
kid,
sell a
yes,
story
about
and he
him,
never finished. And I was like, what the hell? How can you just like not finish a story?
his mother wanted him to be a butcher. And you know what I said? And then they just cut, and I was like, wait, I was actually waiting for him to finish that story. Hold
Exactly.
on.
And it's not even like they cut to it at the end of the episode, so they're like, oh, this is what Foggy, you know, finishes saying. No, we're probably gonna have to wait like I don't know how long.
Oh, so the Russians start off being all stubborn. They're like, man, listen, we're not going to do none of that. We don't need the Kingpin's help. And then they were like, well, you know what? We need the
Yeah, because they're
Kingpin's
tough.
help.
They're Russians.
Yeah, they're stubborn. They're Russian. And then they drink vodka. They're Russian. So, oh, it's cold. They like it. They're Russian. So, after they interrupt Kingpin's date, the youngest brother, Kingpin crushes his head. Oh, for well, first, I think he beat
Well,
him to death.
because he embarrasses Wilson in front of his date.
Of Vanessa, yeah.
And yeah, that pisses him off greatly.
How cool is it when he bought the painting and then he's just like, it's like, oh, I've still got time for work. Why don't you buy every painting in here so I can leave early? And he's like, I'm not doing that. Look what
Well,
he's.
because she was like, oh, other men who have tried to get her attention, they've attempted to do that, buy every single painting in her gallery, just so that she could be off of work and, you know, he could have dinner with her.
I'm sure he could have afforded.
But he was like, yeah, the woman who is easily bought is not worth it at all.
Plus, you probably like my black suit.
I don't know. How does she not know he's like some menacing guy? He's this huge guy in this, like, such a dark suit. Like, he seems like such a formidable
character. He's
not
Bruce Wayne. Yeah, yeah. But, hey, he comes across as a very calm personality.
And because he's got that quiet, you know, personality, too. That demeanor where he like, doesn't talk very loudly. He seems gentle, but he's not really.
Yeah. So he kills the youngest Russian brother by smashing his head repeatedly into his car door. Oh, God. And, oh, Wesley's like, you know what? That's going to start a war. And he's like, I'm counting on it. So, like, oh, gang war. Gang war. That's pretty much it. That's why I said gang war. That's where we left it off at. Karen with her old fax machines. Foggy, still lonely. Matt coming on to nurses that do things in the night.
She just helps people do things in the night.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, yeah. She helps patch up people. It was cool.
She helps anybody who needs help.
I like the jumping around.
She is. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Daredevil jumping around. That's cool. Instead of using the grappling hook. Parkour. Mm-hmm. And the way he dresses up, he wears the black and with the mask. That looks like something Dexter would wear.
You're like not looking forward to the red suit coming.
I'm cool with this. This is more realistic. If you're going out to kick ass, you're like, hey, let
and
me cover my face.
But like they set it up nicely too. The fact that when his father got his red outfit for boxing. You know, red is a perfect color because then you can't tell if you're bleeding. Is what, you know, is a setup for the red costume coming.
We'll see. Well, as long as he doesn't first try out that yellow costume in earlier episodes, I think we'll be okay. With a big brown D on his chest.
Yeah.
Daredevil gets 2 thumbs up.
It does.
Okay,
four thumbs up. I'm not really rating it just yet on Netflix until I've seen the entire season.
But
it's very good.
From what I've seen so far, I've enjoyed it better than I've enjoyed any of the Andrew Garfield Spider-Men. This shows that this is... To me, I always thought that like this... Everyone, the buzz on it is that people... Netflix have shown that they can handle things like this. I mean, from House of Cards to Daredevil and them bypassing the FCC and regulations, this might be the wave of the future. I've said set-top box,
I thought
was the wave.
I mean,
they
said that... they talked about that on award ceremonies, too. These services, they're like... The thing of the future and where everybody's headed, because it's not just Netflix but Hulu, and I think there's like some
ABC
Amazon Prime.
CBS has like a service, $5.99. You get access to all their content when you want it, yeah. With the exception of the National Football League. But the National Football League has a streaming service, Sunday Ticket, which is available. That's what I'm waiting for. I would gladly get like a streaming package from the NFL. Maybe for a cheaper price. I don't want to pay $200 a season.
Yeah, that's expensive.
But that were, if I paid it over 6 months, that's $36 a month. Yeah.
Still a lot of money.
I know, but for that footballing and watch every game, when they do their footballing, it'd be good. So Daredevil, thumbs up. I love it.
Yeah.
And we'll have more. We'll get back to DC TV. We'll add more content, but we just wanted to, like, we binge watched those 4 episodes in a row.
And we're going to binge watch some more today.
And yeah, I was just like, I don't want to do nothing else. Every plan gets scrapped. Thanks a lot, Netflix. My only problem is that, like, when these shows are done, you're like, that's it, man. Because I was totally, like, I don't know, like, before I came over, I watched an episode of Dexter, an episode of House of Cards, and I'm just like, crap. I don't want to rush it.
Yeah.
Don't want to rush it. But it's so good. And it's not like I can't go back and revisit it.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about some comics this week. Let's talk about the first issue. First book we're going to talk about, Spider-Man 2099, number 11. Miguel O'Hara comes back from 2099 to stop Future Hulk from taking over the world.
It's so funny. And then Spider-Man, you know, he meets up with him and he's like, wait, didn't you leave for 2099? And he was like, yes, but, you know, it's terrible there. So I have to come back here because supposedly, you know, he's messed with the timeline somehow by him traveling back to the past.
2014, yeah.
To cause that Hulk. To cause the Hulk to take over the world and
the
stuff
Maestro,
like that.
Yeah.
So he has to figure out, you know, and it seems to be tied to the whole prison that Peter's trying to get built. And Alchemex is also trying to, when that's commissioned, basically, to build the prison.
Can we point out that I like what Spider-Man 2099 said when he was with Peter Parker? He was like, yeah, you know, for all sakes, I really hope you build that prison instead of Liz Allen. Spider-Man's like, I'm not worried about Liz Allen as a competitor. And Miguel O'Hara's like, yeah, that's what kind of bothers me a little bit.
You should be.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
agree. Peter's like, whatever.
I think like the bigger issue, aside from, so what about the prison, but the fact that Miguel O'Hara goes and cures this girl of
Oh, Tempest,
cancer,
yeah, with the spray,
Tempest, like that is messing with the timeline. Someone that's supposed to die, he's
yeah.
completely letting her live, and he's injecting her with a cure from the future.
Yeah.
This
And the
is and
doctor.
it's bad news
Yeah, the
because it just
doctor.
reacts badly with her.
Yeah, her and yeah, made her like that weird goblin. But even then.
But like it does cure her of cancer
Yeah.
at first.
But also, her doctor was like, wow, I can't believe you have cancer. Let me get some of your blood. Let me study and write a paper. And I'm
Exactly,
like,
he's gonna study it. They're
fuck.
gonna, it's introducing too many things too soon. That this stuff is supposed to happen in the future.
Naturally, yeah. So.
Exactly, and he's just completely messed with everything because he thinks he's doing good.
I did like that since Alchemex is building this prison, they get Matt Gargan, the scorpion. And he's like, I've been in prison, so I know what it's like. And I can help people not escape.
Yeah, and I'm
Jerk.
sure because he's been in prison, so he can also, form an escape route as he's building the prison to
Well,
make sure that if he ever gets stuck in there, he has a way out.
he's working for Alchemex now, so.
For now.
For now, that's right. That's right. Anything else happened in this issue of Spider-Man 2099? Other than him at the end getting attacked by the goblin? Who's really Tempest?
That's about
When
it.
she was transforming, I thought she was hulking out. I was like, oh man, this is probably the Maestro's plan. Like, here's some stuff to turn Tempest into the Hulk
I thought she was just gonna turn into
3.0.
some vampire or something because she grew fangs and stuff.
She's thirsty. She's Bram Stoker.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, Hawkeye. All new Hawkeye, number two. This is great.
It's still weird though, the fact that there are two Hawkeyes though.
No, it's a Hawkeye from Young Avengers. Are they together?
I know, but like I was reading a little intro blurb, and it was
It's like
like,
Kate Barton and
and
Clint Barton.
she's Hawkeye and he's Hawkeye.
They're Hawkeyes.
They're Hawkeyes. It's kind of
Yeah.
weird.
I don't know. Are they together? I'll have to Google this because I wasn't reading the last Hawkeye series by Matt Fraction.
So I think this issue's okay.
With the weird children that were being held by Hydra with the big heads.
It's
It might
more,
as well have been a cure for white people.
it's just even more of a setup of, getting to see where Hawkeye came from, Clinton. Clint, yeah, Clinton.
Clint Barton,
Clinton
yeah.
Barton.
As a young man, the swordsman, they leave, they, him and his brother leave to join the circus,
The
like
fact
all
that
little
they
children,
had
with no
the
sexual assault.
guardian who was beating them,
He
and
gets a check.
they got saved by the circus freaks.
Just like every little kid's dream, minus any of the sexual assault. The swordsman, that was pretty cool that he was in this, and he's like, yeah, we got the kids, can they come with us? And the owner of the circus is like,
Yeah, he
whatever.
put on a big air and a big show. He's talking in an accent and this and that. And the boss is just like, no, cut to the chase. Just give me it straight. What's going on?
Oh, some drunk hick was hit harassing these
Yeah.
kids. Can he come with us? But yeah, the whole Hydra thing. I like the scene where Hawkeye's fighting in this because I like Ramon Perez's artwork where he gets the little earpiece knocked out and he can't hear anything. And the guy's talking. He's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're using some Reed Richards-esque words there, buddy, but I can't hear a thing.
I know, talking about how like his banter would be so much better if he could actually hear him. And once he finally gets the earpiece in, the guy's just like telling him like, "What have you done? Where are the kids?
You doomed
Where's the
us all,
gold?"
you freak.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure they have because the moment, the girl lets all the kids out, they
Female
kill
Hawkeye.
everybody in the room
Some of them
without
get
even
wet.
touching them. Like
Yeah.
they're creepy mental powers, these
Yeah.
children of the corn.
That's why I said Akira. I was like, they're Akira? I don't. It's for white people. They have magical power, mental powers. Yeah, but the kids are rescued, and Hawkeye's like, I did a good
Well,
thing.
yeah, that was their whole objective to begin with. They were supposed to get the power source that these guys were hiding. And then the fact that it turned out to be kids, a little bit freaky, especially the way they look.
Their huge heads.
Yeah, but
These
that was
children
their
of the
goal, so
corn.
they're gonna take them out.
I
That's
like
about
to see.
it,
I like
yeah.
looking at this book. It's beautiful looking at it. We love Jeff Lemire, so that's why I gave it a shot. I like it.
It's nice. And I like the two different art styles that they use to show the flashbacks, where everything's kind of
They didn't just put.
pastel colored and stuff like that.
They didn't just put like a caption box. Flashback. The present. Flashback. The present.
Yeah.
Like,
And
oh.
everything's a bit more boxy and clean, sleek looking for the present.
And in the flashbacks, like you said, or pastel colors. I mean, I enjoy this book. It's interesting. It's not your definite superhero fare, but is there a
Yeah.
relationship between Hawkeye and Hawkeye girl and Hawkeye dude?
I don't think so, but you keep harping on that.
I think so, because they both have the same name now. Are they married? Are they getting down and dirty? I don't know. Only time will tell when I go online and read into this.
Well, the way that they bicker with each other, it almost seems like they're siblings sometimes.
That could be. I don't have to Google it. Okay. Last book we're going to talk about. Hulk, number 14. Damn, this is good. I love Gary Duggan's Hulk.
This is okay. I mean, it was one really big fight scene between Red Hulk and Green Hulk, is what it
Yeah, but
is.
Deadpool showed up and then made some.
Deadpool didn't do much. I mean, Deadpool was the weirdest thing in this issue too, because he loses his legs.
Oh God, yeah, his legs get blown off, and he's like, "Man,
And
I
he's
love
like
those
still
legs."
like walking around, well, not walking around, but moving
He's crawling
around,
around.
talking, trying to make jokes,
He did make the joke that
being
he's
a
like, "I
weirdo.
can't die here. I gotta go die in my own book."
Yeah.
His legs are gone.
It was weird, yeah, seeing him just without legs.
Crawling around on his
Yeah.
stomach. He shoots that bird. They're like, "Get away from my legs, bird."
Yeah, he his only job was to shoot Red Hulk in the face.
Why did I think the scene where like Deadpool is like dragging himself because it's just his top half? I see the wolves appear behind him, and the first thing I thought of is that episode from The Simpsons where they're like, when Bart's like, "I bet," when they get snowed in, and Bart's like, "I bet someone's coming to rescue us right now." And the wolves, "I smell human meat. I smell human meat also." And they start digging. I just thought they just saw Deadpool and like, "Let's eat them."
Yeah, they're wolves.
They smell human meat. Oh, yeah. So Deadpool just shoots Red Hulk in the ear with a magic bullet. I'm assuming it's the same one that killed Kennedy.
It's the one to it's to stop him from absorbing even more power, so that Doc Green can, put a stop to this guy.
Yeah, and that's.
Yet the complete reverse winds up happening, in a sense.
Oh, Red Hulk beats the shit out of Doc
Yeah.
Green, punches him into the sky.
And he turns back into Bruce Banner.
Oh, yeah, because he wants to kill himself. Finally.
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 Well, they had been fighting each other, because Doc Green had, Bruce Banner locked inside his own head
With the
for the
meditation.
longest time.
Yeah, using that
And
meditation.
now he's just like, I'm free, but I'm gonna die now. Crap.
I think he wants that. He wants to go into that good night.
I don't know. He seemed pretty scared, but at the end of the issue.
No, I felt like he was able to quickly regain control as Bruce Banner. But now I'm finally free.
Yeah, but he's left to die, and he looked
Just
terrified.
himself.
And I was laughing. Well, I thought it was so funny the fact that his pants were able to stay on because he's a huge guy when he's Doc Green, and I'm just so surprised that like the minute he turns back to Bruce Banner, the pants aren't the first things to fly off of him because they're so outstretched and huge.
He's wearing yoga pants,
Like,
right?
how are they staying on?
Yoga and
That makes no
pants.
sense.
I know. It's a comic book. There you go. That's the answer everyone gets. It's a comic book.
It doesn't have to make sense.
I know. Can we say how cool it was that Hulk was using his Hulk Fu? His martial arts. Him just saying, just the Hulk, the scene of the Hulk flying across the panel saying, "Hee-yah," kicking the crap out of Red Hulk was awesome.
Yeah. It was okay.
I'm sorry you don't have the enthusiasm that I have for
I don't, because it was
Hulk.
just this huge, long,
Hee-yah!
drawn out fight scene, yeah.
Fight, fight, fight.
I mean, it was nice to look at, yeah.
Using martial arts. And Drew Hennessy's a pretty good inker over Mark Bagley.
Yeah,
Sometimes some guys give too thin of a line, but this guy, he gets it right. He's like Art Thiebert. And to a lesser extent, Larry Malastead. I wonder what happened to Larry. Used to ink him on Amazing Spider-Man back in 92. Anyway, wow. He's been drawing that long. Good for Mark Bagley. So that's it for this week's episode. We'll be back later on this week with episode 310. We'll talk more about Daredevil, DC TV. A comic? I don't know. Next episode, there'll be no comics discussion. We'll just talk about DC TV
Yeah, just
and Daredevil.
Daredevil and stuff.
So come back next week. We'll have more on Daredevil, his red nipples, and his
There are
horns.
no red nipples.
Unfortunately, not in this show. So don't forget. Wait,
Unfortunately.
oh, okay. So don't forget to go to theverbalmosh.com for all the links to our social networking sites as well as our sponsors. They'll be there in our link section, and you can go from there. So verbalmosh.com. Drop us a line at theverbalmosh@gmail.com, and we'll see you back here next week.
With a